"Will you please come to bed?" Lisbeth Walker demanded.
"What?"
Edmund Walker turned back from the rail as his wife appeared behind him. She looked at him for a moment, then folded her arms and shook her head.
"I said it's time you came to bed," she told him severely.
"Yes, I know. I'm just getting a little fresh air."
"Standing up here trying to gather the courage to tell me you plan on leaving me home next time, you mean?"
Edmund winced slightly at the directness of her acerbic challenge, but then he shrugged.
"That's part of it, I guess," he admitted. "I'm sorry. I know it's going to make you unhappy, which probably means I'll be lucky to get back to see myself without getting my head split open with a cookpot. But there it is. I'm not going to have something happen to you, Liz. I'm sorry, but I just can't do that."
He couldn't see her face very well on the darkened poop deck, but he recognized the softening in her body language. He didn't speak all that often of the depth of his love for her, although he knew she knew how deep it truly was. She stood there for another moment, then crossed to his side and put her arms about him.
"Don't you dare cheat that way," she said softly,
laying her cheek against his chest.
"And don't think you can turn me up all soft and obedient with a little sweet talk."
"Oh, believe me, I'd never think that,"
Edmund told her, hugging her back.
"Good."
She stood back, holding him by his upper arms as she gazed up into his face in the dim backwash of the anchor lights.
"I wouldn't want you thinking I'm going soft in my old age, but—"
She leaned closer and kissed him.
"If that's the way you're going to be about it, I suppose I'm going to have to put up with it. This time, anyway."
Edmund was wise enough not to breathe any prayers of gratitude where she might hear them.
"In that case," he said instead, "let me make one more swing round the deck, and then I'll be happy to come below and turn in."
"Good,"
she repeated in an entirely different tone, and he grinned as he heard the challenge and promise in her voice. He gave her another quick kiss, patted her on her still remarkably firm and shapely posterior, and started forward.
"All right, let's go,"
Sergeant Dakin whispered harshly, and his platoon started moving silently, or as close to silently as 25 cow-footed infantry troopers were ever likely to move, down the length of the dimly illuminated pier. He glanced over his shoulder at the under-priest who'd attached himself to the platoon. Dakin didn't much care for the priest's fervent manner, and he cared even less for the feeling that the platoon had two sergeants now, or for the fact that the second one was senior to Dakin himself.
"Enough room for things to go straight to hell already without having the troops looking to someone else for orders at the same time," he thought grumpily. "Why, oh why, can't officers and priests just stay the Shon way out of the way and let the sergeants get on with handling the details?"
He returned his attention to the task at hand as he and his men neared the first vessel on their list. They were just coming even with the lantern at the foot of the ship's gangway when there was a sudden shout from farther up the pier.
"You there! Stand aside! We're coming aboard!"
"Shan Wei!"
Dakin swore as he recognized the voice. He'd never thought a great deal of Sergeant Joseph Stewart, who ran the company's second platoon. In his considered opinion, Stewart was stupid enough to make a perfectly serviceable officer, but they'd both been present when Captain Kerman gave them their orders, which meant even Stewart should have gotten his men aboard the very first ship on his list before he started shouting challenges from pierside.
"Okay, let's pick it up,"
he barked at his own men as shouts from the Carizian galleon's harbor watch responded to Stewart. The Carizians didn't sound very happy or cooperative, and Stewart shouted something louder and considerably more obscene.
"Idiot,"
Dakin muttered under his breath.
"What the fuck does he—"
The sergeant's question chopped off as the shouts were abruptly punctuated by the unmistakable chung sound of an arbalest steel bow and a throat-tearing scream.
God damn it! Deccan snarled. Less than a minute into what's supposed to be a quick, quiet job, and that stupid son of a bitch already letting his men shoot civilians!